Tell us a little bit about the inspiration for this album and what we can expect from it.
Well, it's first of all, it's a two-record set. It's called Somewhere Down the Road. And I guess, you know, you don't see too many two-record sets anymore. And we do that because we actually have two sounds. I mean, we're kind of a jangly, you know, late 60s rock and roll pop band, very influenced by the British Invasion and late 60s L.A. rock, like the Byrds, Buffalo Springfield, people like that. And Box Tops, Big Star out of Memphis. So that's sort of our bag. But we also record a lot of songs that are sort of darker and moodier. And those are more inspired by J.J. Cale and Kris Kristofferson and John Prine. And so this two-record set reflects both sounds. So one entire disc is the aforementioned jangly pop sound, and the second disc is the very dark and moody thing. And when we play live, we don't do as many of the moody ones because, you know, when you're playing for a live audience, they tend to like more up-tempo stuff, you know. So, but we do usually play at least a couple of the moodier songs from the second side.
What was the...
And talking about contrasting it from the other stuff, you know, our earlier stuff was a lot... you know, more based on hillbilly music and the British Invasion, so it had a lot more country aspects to it. And these days we do a lot less of the hillbilly style kind of music and concentrate a bit more on, you know, kind of how we sound naturally, which is more like a 60s, you know, pop rock and roll band.
So would you say that this is kind of a natural evolution for the band? Is this where you thought you would be headed after all these years playing together?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, wouldn't you say, JD?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and, you know, when we just sit and play, you know, together in a room, this is more how we sound naturally. You know, the early stuff that we were doing was a lot of experimentation and just kind of seeing what we could do and how far we could kind of push what, you know, we were kind of working on at the time. So this is, yeah, a lot, you know, more natural, and, you know, it's probably a sound that more people can identify or, you know, kind of accept even more than the stuff we did before.
Yeah, it's more, a little bit more palatable to a wider audience. Our early stuff was kind of like, you know, very stylized, and you know, we said, hey, you know, what if we sing this stuff like David Allan Coe and mix the Beatles with, like, you know, Buck Owens and see what happens. And the newer stuff is, as JD said, just the way we sounded, you know, when we play together.
What inspires for the original songs that you do on the album and in concert, what inspires the writing of those songs? Do you all collaborate on it, or is it is it a couple of the guys in the band who say, hey, I've got an idea for something, and then you just see how it gels? How does it all come together?
Well, we're doing that more. We're writing together with Teddy, JD, and myself more lately. But I guess I would say probably 3/4 of the songs, at least, over the whole life of the Boxmasters, probably more, have been written by JD and myself. And we continue to write, the two of us. But, actually, Teddy is getting in on more of the writing lately, which is great because he's a keyboard player. And, you know, they come at things from a different way than people who write songs on guitar like we do. So he will, you know, he'll come up with a chord progression that we might not think of, but because of the difference in the piano chords and the guitar chords, or just the way a keyboard player thinks. And
one really thinks like Teddy does. You know, he's our comic book character, you know, but it's our friend.
Do you ever, is it a good camaraderie in terms of trying to figure out what songs, I mean, since in this case you have a two record set, so you had much more room to put more music on there. Is it a good collaboration that you're able to kind of say, no, man, I don't really like that one, and we'll go with something else? Or, you know, how does it work out with members of the band?
We hardly ever disagree, to tell you the truth. You know, usually it's kind of obvious.
Sure. What that's lying.
Sorry, I was trying to make a disagreement, you know.
We're not good at it.
Yeah. But actually, yeah, we always agree on almost anything. But if, you know, someone does have, you know, an opinion that maybe doesn't go along with the other guys, we listen to it and usually end up saying, you know what, you're right, with whoever it is, you know. But we write songs in a pretty organic way. We don't usually sit down to write something. We don't say, hey, on Thursday, let's write songs. I mean, they usually come out. Either J.D. will have some chords that he's come up with, or I've got a melody or a few chords, or, you know, I've got a chorus or a verse, you know, written lyric-wise. So it usually happens pretty organically, and the songs that come out fairly quickly are usually the best. I think most people say that, you know, that the songs that you have to sit down and construct normally aren't your best ones, you know, because they seem forced.
Billy, with all the things you have going on outside of music, how do you find that the time for the focus on your songwriting and your performing, your touring this summer with the band? That's a lot going on.
Well, you know, I think the internet and everything makes you look a lot busier than you really are. we schedule a tour. This is our second tour this year, and then I got a couple other things to do in October, and then another thing December through February, then another one like March through May, and we'll go back out on tour again in probably June. So we just kind of work it out, you know. We just make sure we know what the right times are. And during the time that I'm back in L.A. doing these other things, we'll still record on weekends and at night, you know. So, you know, between that and, you know, three kids for me and two for J.D. and Teddy's got a bunch of dogs, we're pretty busy.
For both of you, is the touring part of this fun still for the number of years that the group has been together? Is hitting around the country, and I know you guys do both, you know, some more intimate arenas, and you've also done some, you know, some of the larger venues as well. Is the touring part of it fun for you still?
Absolutely. There are days that are taxing. It depends on what's going on, but we love to play for our fans, and we have a really good cult following, you know. I mean, we don't have, you know, hundreds of thousands of fans, you know, but the ones we have are really good, and we like to see them face to face and also meet new people and make new fans. I mean, we're playing some places on this tour that we've never played before, like for instance in Delaware. Now, we've played out in Alexandria there, you know, at Birchmere before. We had a great time, so we're familiar with it, you know. But
as well as the Ramstad in Annapolis, we've played there. It is a lot of work, too, because we don't give ourselves many days off because it's just so expensive to tour. So it's you know, a lot of work, and a lot of getting our behinds chewed from back home. But that's why we called it the NAC tour.
For fans who have seen you all before, you're coming back to the Birchmere on September 3rd. What can we expect from this show?
Well, we'll do... We do the same show no matter who's there. In other words, whatever the type of venue it is, or let's say we have a sold-out crowd or a small crowd, we, you know, try to give it everything we have every night. But you'll see if you ever look at a poster or see us on the internet, or if you've got any of our records, we'll be in the Liverpool suits. and we do a lot of we'll do a lot of songs from the new record, especially the first side. And we also just released a record on the internet only. It's only available on our website called Providence. And we play a few songs from that also. And Providence has the artwork and the lyrics and everything. So when you download the record, you get all that stuff with it. Because, you know, we record so much that we have a bunch of records already ready to go in the can. And a label can't turn out more than a record a year, you know. Or they don't like to anyway. And so we've just decided, you know, for our fans that are really into us, we're going to start putting them on the internet. So we'll play some of those too, and a couple of the old ones.
That's pretty cool. Well, gentlemen, I know our time is short, so I just want to ask one question, if I may, off of the Boxmasters. I just want to ask Billy about, we're hearing about this new project you're working with that's going to be out on Amazon with William Hurt. I understand it's a David E. Kelly legal drama. Is there anything you can tease us about that to kind of whet our appetites and tell us what that's about and when it may be coming out?
Well, you know, everybody wants to be on TV now because independent film has kind of, you know, hit a, you know, rough spot. And so all the actors want to do Amazon and Netflix because, you know, it's kind of taken the place of independent film. So after I did Fargo, I was looking for something else great, and I read this from David Kelly, and it was just a terrific script. So it's another 10-episode thing that we're doing very soon. And I play a lawyer who's really down on his luck. I'll put it that way. And I'd played a lawyer in The Judge, but that's the only time I'd ever done it. You know, it was just in a few scenes with Robert Downey and Duvall there, and I really enjoyed it. So the opportunity to be able to play one sort of for a while is really appealing to me because, you know, at the end of the day, lawyers are actors. And I didn't know about William Hurt. That's news to me. I've been on the road.